In the name of Jesus, our good shepherd, dear fellow sheep of his pasture. Years ago, a phone call, excited man, had read an open letter to the community before there was a New Life Lutheran Church in Shoreview, Minnesota. 1,300 home visits followed by 400 follow-up calls on the non-churched gave a lot of information to put into an open letter for what kind of church we'd like to start. Everything that tied in what the Bible says about Christ's flock, his church, went into that letter, and people were talking about it 10 years after the fact. He was asking me to visit, so I did. And it ended up being two families that had formed their own house church, quite convinced that they were very independent. But shortly into the visit, it became pretty obvious. Their pastor was a TV preacher, which is not bad in and of itself, but this happened to be one who was sure that there are continuing revelations that come from God. And anything I said about what is written in the Holy Scriptures, they weren't listening. Not really important as far as they were concerned, because we've gone on from that. We've moved on from that. And it just ignores the very first verse of Hebrews chapter 1 when the Holy Spirit says to the Jewish Christians, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers at many times and in various ways through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who is the radiance of God's glory, the creator of all things. He goes on with more detail about Jesus there. And on Good Shepherd Sunday, it's good to remember that we have a shepherd. We need to listen to his voice. Not long after that visit, one of those TV preachers was in prison. He kept telling people, God spoke to me. And they believed him. And he embezzled from God's people. Still in jail, as far as I know. And God spoke to me is dangerous talk. Because Jesus spoke. And Jesus is God's last word. Jesus is the Word of God incarnate who says, I am the Good Shepherd. We want to follow the Good Shepherd today, especially thinking about his powerful works and his winning words. When you hear John 10, it ought to get you more excited than your best movie ever. Because John chapter 10 is the Good Shepherd chapter. It's just filled with passages that you will remember, these precious words of God and his kindness and his love. But even more so, precious and exciting if you know to whom it was spoken. You might first think that John chapter 10, well, he said it to his disciples. Well, yeah, they're there, but they're not the target audience. So maybe next you think the crowds following Jesus. Okay, they're there. But this is something about your Savior that you really need to know and appreciate, your Good Shepherd. He speaks his kindest words and does his most powerful works in front of his enemies to win their hearts. Try that on for size as you're reading in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel in the four accounts. How the Lord Jesus does this over and over again. No miracles, no power works for himself. Always to the glory of God the Father. Always for someone else's need. Always winning hearts and blessing us in that way. You see how he spoke it to his enemies at some of the most difficult times, and this was one of them. They had tried to arrest him before, and it was the power works that people talked about. The crowds are seeing this. They actually asked this question, will anyone come along and do more works than this man? This is the Christ. They believed in him. They were convinced that Jesus was the Christ because of his power works. Miracles, as we call them. So the Holy Spirit tells us it was the festival of dedication and winter time in Israel. It was cold and Jesus was walking in Solomon's colonnade. This was a covered, they sometimes call it a porch, but you got to think of a long, long hallway open on one side to the inner courtyard, and I think closed on the other side, but it had columns all the way down at 3 football fields long and covered with a roof, and these are huge columns. There's a link that I can give you if you're curious sometimes where they've done some research with the archaeologists, and you can, go inside the temple and see the computer-generated pictures of this. It's really spectacular. This was the only surviving part of Solomon's temple. So Solomon builds in 1000 BC. The temple is destroyed by the Babylonians in 586. City of Jerusalem destroyed too. And Solomon's colonnade was still there. So Herod built around that in the great temple in Jerusalem. Jesus is walking. There's plenty of room for the crowds and plenty of room for enemies. And literally it says that they surrounded him. Gathered around, kind of too tepid there. They surrounded him and they're demanding an answer. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Quit holding back. Jesus answered them, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I am doing in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, you are not my sheep. So here you have the Word of God incarnate, the perfect preacher and teacher, with more power works than anyone else ever did, and the people believing in him. But the Jewish religious leaders, no time for that. They knew the Old Testament scriptures backwards and forwards, could just quote anything from there at a moment's notice. But you see, the Holy Spirit tells us they did not mix their hearing with faith. Having it go in the ears doesn't mean it's penetrating the heart. They had a Jesus problem, as we have a Jesus problem. It's really in our ears and in our hearts. Wanting to hear something else, some other solution. You know, we pray, thy will be done, but then as long as it's my will, Lord, so easy to say the words, but he needs to get into our hearts. So their Jesus problem, they had a solution for that. Remember the next chapter, John 11, Jesus raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. Another power work. Who else ever did that? He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, healing the sick. It's on and on and on like that. And then he raises his friend Lazarus from the dead after 4 days in the tomb. And they've got a problem because everybody's streaming to Jesus now. You know what their solution was? You remember that? Kill him again. That's right. They're going to kill Lazarus again. That will really solve your Jesus problem. Same thing in our day and age when throughout the world Christians are testifying publicly and privately that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And the world denies it. Hates it and hates those who follow Jesus, and their solution, kill them off. As if that's somehow going to stop God's word from sounding forth. When we hear, we need to mix the hearing with faith. And the Bible says that faith is a gift of God. That too is not by works. No one can boast about their faith either. It's good to have a kind-hearted attitude toward people around you as they don't understand and they maybe even react angrily to you and your life and the things that you say in Christian love, trying to be good neighbors, trying to be good Christians, and they get mad. Remember, that's first of all directed at Jesus, not you. And Jesus says, love your enemies, and he's the only religious leader that I know of that says that, and he proves it. because even for his enemies, he suffered and died and rose again. He objectively forgave them all their sins before God too. If only they'll hear and believe and trust in him. You're not my sheep. That's the problem, even with all the power works. But he's still trying to win them with the sweetest, most winning words that you have in the Bible, said to his enemies. But I think we have to stop and just be honest for a second. Do we really like being called sheep? Sheep are the most helpless of creatures. They can mess themselves up, always wandering off. Pretty much everything they do is self-destructive. Even the way they will continually overgraze a pasture all the way down to the deepest roots, unless the good shepherd is moving the flock from one pasture to another. This is just the way sheep are. And they'll continually walk the same paths until they've worn a comfortable spot in those paths, and then they'll lie down in that hollow spot. But by then, their wool is so thick with mud and manure, and they get to rolling back and forth in this comfortable spot, don't want to leave it, and before you know it, they're flipped over, belly to the sun, freezing in the winter or burning in the summer. That's called a cast sheep. A cast sheep is a technical term. That sheep will die if the shepherd does not find it in time. David was a shepherd. He writes in the Psalms, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God." We need to know our good shepherd is going to be coming out after us to find us when we're cast down. They've got that thick wool and you think they'd be warm, but it gets wet and they're shivering. And they have no defense. Teeth aren't good for much except chewing the grass that they have. They can't run, can't see very well. It's really not a compliment to be called a sheep. But the world proves Jesus right over and over again. Everybody is following someone. Everyone has a shepherd. And the most independent, supposedly liberated ones are generally the ones that are in the most trouble. They may just be listening only to themselves. Or they pick out some religious leader that sounds good, that says, you know, God spoke to me, that sort of thing, and they can go off in all these deadly, dangerous directions because they're following not the good shepherd, but other shepherds. Some of you will remember, and you can check back on the internet to listen to a summer series on Psalm 23. You'll recognize the titles because everything's about the shepherd for weeks on end there. But Shepherd Philip Keller talked about his beautiful, lush, green pastures that he worked so hard on. And across the fence, it was a derelict ranch by an absentee landlord who just hired shepherds to take care of it. And those sheep were starving on the other side of the fence. And finally, they found a way at low tide to get around the end of the fence and into Philip Keller's just lush green grass. And they gorged themselves too much, too soon, bloated bellies, dying sheep. And Keller gets hold of his neighbor who comes over. Cover your ears if you have a weak stomach. He slits their throats, loads them up into a wheelbarrow and just takes them back and dumps them on the other side of the fence. That's a picture of other shepherds, especially the one from hell that hates God and wants to make everybody's life miserable. Out there still talking, sometimes through people who sound pretty good. But my sheep, Jesus says, oh dear, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Those hands still show the marks of the nails where the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And I love that in Revelation, that reading from Revelation 7, where Jesus is the lamb, but he's also the shepherd. Because earlier in John 10, this good shepherd chapter, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, but I have the power to take it up again. His kind, winsome words are coming together with his power works. They're never separate from each other. He lays down his life and rises again with the trophies of his victory still in his hand. So he can tell doubting Thomas, just put your finger here, your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We don't believe as some blind leap of faith, just jumping out there for cultural reasons because you were born a Christian, so you stay a Christian. There's so many better reasons, and one in particular is this: my sheep listen to my voice. Those insights from that book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller grew up in East Africa. They herd sheep as they do in the Holy Land, not like here in the West. I mean, it's pretty spectacular if you can watch a sheepdog that can just obey the master's hand signals and whistles. But in the West, we drive sheep with dogs. In the East, in the Holy Land, they still can do this. A shepherd can walk into a mixed fold, the pen, or the sheep are, and there's all different flocks in there. He can walk in and start talking. His sheep recognize his voice, and they will follow him out and everywhere, trusting that voice for good health and safety and care. And that's the whole difference. This is not complicated. My sheep don't just hear the voice, they're listening. They're taking it to heart. They know my voice. And they follow me. No one can snatch them out of my hands. I give them eternal life. John says earlier in John chapter 5, we have already crossed over from death to life. Your eternal life has already begun. Trusting in Jesus as your Savior. But he also talks about the Heavenly Father's hands here. Now that's interesting because that takes you back to Isaiah and a great connection with Mother's Day. In Isaiah, he asks the question, can a woman forget the baby at her breast and not care about the child she has born? Yes, she may forget, but I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. These are the hands of God, the hands of the Good Shepherd. And when you put that back together with the cast sheep and the way we're constantly wandering off, it's a good thing we have a shepherd like this one. The shepherd who cares so much about the sheep that once one is missing, he'll leave the 99 and go out and find that one missing sheep. And typically that sheep is cast down on its back. It can't get back up again until the shepherd goes to rescue it. Happens to little lambs too. Philip Keller said he used to carry a flask of brandy at his side. I love this picture. He'd find that the cast sheep, the little lamb, and pick it up and just put a few drops of brandy on its tongue. Get that warmth just going through its body because the circulation is gone, rubbing the legs to get them so they're not so wobbly again, and then just setting the little lamb on its feet, and he said it would just go off wiggling its little tail, but always following the good shepherd much closer after that. Years ago, we had a pastor here, a guest pastor. I get to hear the best from the guest pastors. He preached a whole sermon on limping at the shepherd's side. A sheep that loved to wander, that wouldn't stay close to the master until the master took it and broke its leg. Sounds cruel, but that sheep was destroying itself and leading other sheep astray as well. And after it had that broken leg, it stayed close to the master's side, and you're much healthier limping at the shepherd's side then you would be wandering off into perdition. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The Jews still say that prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. The Scripture says the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God. What that means for you, as the precious sheep and lambs of our Heavenly Father, of our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, I and the Father are one means that when God comes to you, and He always does, He's there, He's listening, He's watching, even when you're not praying, even when you're not thinking about Him, He's watching. And you get all of Him. I cannot mathematically explain this. I cannot explain this physically. But Scripture says that every one of us get one God. Our God is one. You get all of His attention. You get all of His loving care. And He puts this into the sacraments in such a beautiful way so that when we're baptized, your name is spoken, God's name is put on you, you're all His, and He's all yours. When we come to the Lord's table, and that bread and wine connected with God's Word now have with it the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd is giving you the blood He shed and the body that was broken for you. And it's very personal, isn't it? Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You get all of Him. You get all of His attention. You should never, ever think that God is so busy that He can't be concerned of your tiniest problems, because He says the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I love to think on that. Really, Lord? Yes, that's how well He knows you in those tiny details that seem so unimportant to everybody else. Follow the Good Shepherd. He's the one who cares for you. Follow Him listening to the sound of His voice as He picks you up and holds you close in His heart and holds you close to the Heavenly Father in word and sacrament. Follow Him all the way home to forever with God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I am Jesus, little lamb. Amen.